Welcome to episode 1403 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The Apostle Paul writes something in 1 Corinthians 6 that might seem strange to modern ears.
Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
Paul is making a bold claim. Sexual sin is different from other sins. Sexual sin is a sin against your own body. And your body matters because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This challenges modern thinking. In our culture, we tend to see the body as neutral. What we do with our bodies is a private matter. Sexual ethics are about personal choice and consent. What we do with our bodies does not really affect who we are spiritually. But Paul says something radically different. He says, "Your body is not neutral, it is sacred. What you do with your body shapes your soul." Sexual integrity is not just about rules, it is about spiritual formation. Paul develops this image throughout his letters. The body is a temple, a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. This is profound. Your body is not merely a vehicle for your preferences, not merely flesh to be gratified. Your body is sacred space, where God dwells. This changes everything. If your body is a temple, then what you do with your body matters. How you treat it matters. What you invite into it matters. When you commit sexual immorality, when you use your body for sexual gratification outside of covenant, you are desecrating the temple. You are bringing something into sacred space that does not belong there. Paul in verses 16 to 17.
Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit.
Paul is emphasizing the reality of sexual union. When you have sex with someone, you become one flesh with them. You create a profound bond. You are not simply engaging in a physical act. You are creating a spiritual reality. And if you are united with the Lord, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then bringing someone else into that union, someone with whom you have not covenanted, creates a conflict. You are creating a bond with someone that violates your bond with Christ. This is the crucial insight. Sexual ethics are not just about behavior. They are about formation. What you do with your body shapes who you become spiritually. When you practice sexual integrity, when you refuse to use your body outside of covenant, when you treat your body as sacred, you are not just following rules. You are training yourself spiritually. You are forming yourself into someone whose desires align with covenant. You are becoming someone capable of genuine faithfulness. Conversely, when you practice sexual immorality, when you use your body for gratification outside covenant, when you treat your body as a consumer good, you are training yourself in a different direction. You are forming yourself into someone whose desires are fragmented. You are becoming someone for whom faithfulness is increasingly difficult. This is why Paul cares so much about sexual ethics. It is not because he is prudish or controlling. It is because Paul understands our sexuality is formative. Our sexuality shapes our souls. Verse 18.
Flee from sexual immorality.
Paul does not say resist. He says flee. Run away. Do not linger. Do not test yourself. Do not negotiate. Flee. Why such urgency? Because sexual temptation is powerful. Our sexual desires, when unformed, are strong. Flirting with sexual immorality is dangerous. It trains us toward unfaithfulness. Paul develops his sexual ethics in the context of marriage. And he reveals something extraordinary about marriage. Ephesians 5 verses 25 to 28.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
Marriage, for Paul, is not primarily about happiness or fulfillment. It is a reflection of Christ's relationship with the church. It is meant to show what Christ's love looks like. Christ loves sacrificially. He gave himself up, gave everything. Christ's love is not about what he gets. It is about what he gives. And husbands are called to love their wives in this way, not primarily for what the wife provides, not primarily for sexual gratification, not primarily for what the husband gets, but sacrificially, giving yourself, cleansing and sanctifying your wife, building her up. This reframes sexuality entirely. Sex in marriage is not about using your spouse. It is an expression of sacrificial love. It is one way you give yourself to your spouse. Sex in marriage is a way you build up and honor your spouse. Paul continues in verse 33.
Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
The husband must love his wife as he loves himself. This means that what affects your wife affects you. Her well-being is your well-being. Her dignity is your dignity. You cannot use her, cannot demean her, cannot treat her as an object, because to do so is to demean yourself. The core insight is this. Sexual ethics are not external rules imposed from outside. They are about spiritual formation. What we do with our bodies shapes who we become. When you practice sexual integrity, you are training yourself spiritually. You are learning to say no to impulse. This builds discipline that extends far beyond sexuality. Learning to value covenant over desire. This trains you toward faithfulness in all areas. Learning to see your spouse as a person, not an object. This develops genuine love. Learning to sacrifice. This forms you into someone capable of genuine commitment. Learning to connect sex with love and covenant. This prevents the fragmentation that comes from treating sexuality as a consumer good. Conversely, when you practice sexual immorality, use sexuality outside of covenant, you are training yourself in the opposite direction. You are learning that impulse should be acted on. This weakens discipline. Learning that desire trumps commitment. This trains you toward unfaithfulness. Learning to see people as objects. This prevents genuine love. Learning to avoid sacrifice. This forms you into someone incapable of real commitment. Learning to fragment sexuality from love and covenant. This produces fragmentation of the soul. This is why Paul is so serious about sexual ethics. It is not prudishness. It is wisdom about formation. It is understanding that we become what we practice. When sexuality is separated from covenant, when sex becomes merely about gratification, the soul becomes fragmented. You become divided. Part of you is in your marriage. Part of you is elsewhere. Part of you is seeking satisfaction outside the covenant. This fragmentation is not harmless. This fragmentation damages your marriage, damages your capacity for genuine intimacy, damages your spiritual integrity. Paul understands this. He calls us to integrity, calls us to bring our whole selves, body and spirit, into our covenants. Paul teaches that what we do with our bodies shapes our souls. Sexual integrity is not just behavioral compliance. Sexual integrity is spiritual formation. When we honor our bodies as temples, practice sexual faithfulness, connect sexuality with covenant love, we are training ourselves spiritually. We are becoming people capable of genuine love, becoming people of integrity. Marriage, in Paul's vision, is not primarily about personal happiness. It is a reflection of Christ's love for the church. It is a place where we practice sacrificial love, where we learn to give ourselves completely to another person. This requires integrity, requires that our sexuality serve love, not replace it, requires that we honor our bodies and our spouses, requires that we understand that what we do with our bodies shapes who we become spiritually. Father, help us understand that our bodies matter. Help us see our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit. Help us practice sexual integrity, not as rule following, but as spiritual formation. Help us understand that what we do with our bodies shapes our souls. Help us practice faithfulness in our sexuality so that we become people capable of genuine love. Help us connect sexuality with covenant so that sex becomes an expression of sacrificial love rather than self-gratification. Help us honor our spouses as reflections of how Christ loves the church. And help us become people whose bodies and spirits are integrated, whole, and devoted to you and to the covenant commitments we have made. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.